live from the ESPN Pensacola studios. It's the Glass Half Full with Jordan Glass. You could be a part of today's show by texting or calling at 850-623-1330. Now, here's Jordan Glass.
9 a.m. on a Tuesday morning here at ESPN Pensacola. That means it is time for the Glass Half Full. I am Jordan Glass. Thank you so much for tuning in to today's show. And of course, as always, if you want to be a part of the studio line, you can do that 850-623-1330. Again, that number 850-623-1330. Going to be talking a little college football. I know what you're saying. College football season is over. How could we be talking college football? Well, we're still going to be talking about it. We're going to be talking about some spring games. Plus, got a chance to talk with Mike Norvell yesterday. He was actually in town at the Sanctuary in downtown Pensacola right off of 9th Avenue. And got a chance to spend some time with him before the event got started, talking about this upcoming season and the team and obviously the new changes that he's made to his staff, bringing in Gus Malzahn, bringing in Tony White as the new defensive coordinator. So you'll definitely get to hear about that in just a second. We're also going to be talking a little NBA as well. Luka making his debut for the Lakers. We'll talk about that a little later on in the program. Then, of course, we'll have your headline roundup as always. But we're going to start with Coach Mike Norvell being in town. And it was a great opportunity to meet him and really kind of get to talk to him. I never met him before. I've met other, you know, college football coaches and have had the pleasure of meeting them. You know, I've met Dan Mullen. I've had a chance to talk to him, Urban Meyer, all kinds of guys like that, you know. But never really had a chance to meet Mike Norvell. And honestly, he's a legitimate guy, right? He's very straight up, very honest, very, very, very nice guy, too, as well. I mean, sometimes you can meet some of these coaches and you see them on TV and you think, oh, they'd be friendly if you meet them. And then you get a chance to talk to them and they're not quite that person that you see on TV. Well, and that's not a shot at Nick Saban. Nick Saban, by the way, is 110% the guy you saw on game day joking around with Pat McAfee. That is 110% who Nick Saban is, because that's another guy I've had the pleasure of getting to meet and talk to a little bit. So, Mike Norvell, absolute class act. Did not shy away from any question that was asked last night by me or any of the other members of the media that was there. But it was definitely a fun time last night out at the Sanctuary. So thank you to Derek and all the people from Florida State Athletics who put this event on and obviously invited out the members of the media and was like, hey, you know, you guys can come out and we'll set aside some time at the beginning of the event for you. So thank you for all of them for doing that. Thank you to Mike Norvell for taking the time out. I know, busy day, you're coming to these booster events. You just kind of want to get in there, do your speech, take your pictures and all that stuff, and get back home to the wife and kids. And like I said, Coach could not have been more gracious and more accepting and willing to talk to us, especially about this upcoming season, which he is super, super excited about. And, I mean, lots of reasons why. You bring in two new coordinators. Like I said, Tony White, the new defensive coordinator, Gus Malzahn, who he pulled from a head coaching position at a Power 5 school to be the offensive coordinator there at Florida State. Definitely seems to be like it's putting a new energy in the team. And this is kind of what Coach Norvell had to say about the new coaches kind of adapting to the team and the team adapting to those new coaches.
Great thing about it, you know, we've had our tour duty workouts on Fridays, so not only have our players got a chance to be around them and you know, getting a sense of who these coaches are, but also, you know, they're getting an opportunity to get instructed by them. And yeah, I think it's gone really well. You know, I think you feel the energy of the new staff. I mean, there's a lot of excitement. You know, there is a sense of urgency in all things that we're doing and, you know, putting in, you know, a new offense, defense, you know, being able to, you know, see some of the things that there might have been familiarity or similarities to, but now being able to, you know, adapt, you know, to what's being asked. And I think, you know, players, coaches, everybody involved, I mean, there's a lot of excitement for what it is and, you know, really who we're getting to do it with the new staff and the new players.
Yeah, and I mean, I think they've done a great job this offseason of the players that they've brought in, the coaches that they've brought in. I was already kind of curious as to what we would get from Florida State in 2025, but after talking with Coach Norvell last night, this team, there is, like, as you heard him kind of briefly mention there in that clip, there's a new energy to this team. There's a new passion. All of a sudden, these guys that kind of almost were, I don't want to say complacent, because I don't think the word coach would have wanted to use would be complacent, but almost like they kind of got that, you know, hey, we went 13-1 last year. We're Florida State. We've got one of the best defensive lines in college football, if not the best defensive line in college football. Let's just roll it out there, and we should win games. And it kind of it hit them and bit them early on, and they never really were able to recover from that. And this new energy that's being interjected in by both of these coordinators, by some of the new players, some of the other assistant coaches that have been brought in for the season, it's really, you could tell him talking about it, the excitement he has for this team and this upcoming season, especially defensively with the new defensive coordinator coming over from Nebraska and Tony White. So this is actually what he had to say about Tony and him coming over and taking over the defense there in Tallahassee.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just the versatility. Obviously, it's the mentality I love. I mean, it's aggressive, you know, to be able to you do the things out of, you know, when it's in a three down front, you know, to be able to transition and to be able to have elements of the four down you attack, and just you know, the different ways of putting players in position to showcase what they can do. And it, you know, with our personnel, you know, I think we've got a great group that we can mix, whether it's, you know, with the defensive linemen, with its linebackers, guys in the secondary. I think that you know, that's one of the things that you know, a new coming back would be a strength when you look at the length and athleticism of guys, and then, you know, when you look at some of the defensive guys, defensive linemen that we were able to have return, you know, a guy like Darryl, you know, Daniel Lyons continuing to grow, you know, to grow up, some of the young defensive linemen, KJ Sampson, and some of the transfers that have joined us, just really excited about, you know, how it can all come together. But really, it's that the versatility and the aggressiveness in the attack.
Yeah, and they are definitely going to be aggressive with this new defense that's led by Tony White. I mean, he runs, you look at the defensive scheme he likes to run, it's going to be a 3-3-5, so you're going to have three down linemen, three linebackers, and five defensive backs. They're going to be able to come in, and one thing that really was a big issue for Florida State last year was, you know, stopping the run, but also really just kind of being able to cover receivers downfield. That was a big problem for them throughout the season as well. This 3-3-5 defense that Coach White's going to want to run, it's going to allow them to be more aggressive with their coverage and to be more multiple with their coverage, right? And what I mean by that is they're going to be able to, you know, whether it's man, whether it's zone, whether it's cover two, whatever it is, they're going to be able to get out there, and they're going to line up, and they're going to do whatever they need to do that best helps them defend the team that they're lined up across. And it's going to give them versatility that they did not have a season ago. And I think that's another reason why Mike Norvell is excited about this team. And honestly, I'm starting to get excited about what this team could be moving forward in Tallahassee with Tony White as the defensive coordinator. Like I said, that 3-3-5 scheme, it's going to open them up covering the pass. But it's also what it's going to do for the run game, stopping the run, is it's going to allow them, like I said, it's three down linemen, three linebackers. You're going to be able, with five defensive backs, you're going to be able to bring one or two guys into the box to help out against the run. So you're getting speedy, shifty guys who know how to tackle coming into the box to help out the linebackers, to help out the defensive linemen. So you get a defensive lineman that's, you know, locks up a lineman. You get a linebacker that locks up another lineman. All of a sudden, that creates an opening for one of those speedy DBs who's come up into the box to get back there and make a play in the backfield, because the linebackers and the defensive linemen have pretty much filled up all the blockers. So you got hat on a hat, and that opens up an opportunity for those DBs that can slide in there and make a play. So that's going to be another thing that they're going to be able to do. And also, it's going to create opportunities for them to be aggressive blitzing as well, because again, you talk about having five D backs on the field, you can bring one or two down into the box on an aggressive blitz. And then also, you know, you run a twist with a defensive end and a linebacker or something like that. They're going to be able to give opposing offenses very unique and very exotic looks with this 3-3-5 defense that Tony White is going to bring to the table. And it's really going to be a lot of fun to see how this Florida State defense who's already really good. You look at them on paper, they are a very talented defense. They just could not get the production out of them last year. And plus, when your offense isn't scoring points, let's not forget, Florida State only scored more than 20 points in two games last year, and it was the game against Georgia Tech that they lost to start off the season, and then their second win against Charleston Southern at the end of the year. That was it for them. They were under 20 points the rest of the year. Even when they beat Cal, they only scored, what was it, 18 or 19 points? So the offense not really staying on the field wore that defense down, but also at the same time just could not get the level of production because sat right here in this chair, in this studio, and talked heading into the season, kind of looking over position by position in college football as who was going to be the standout. And when we looked at the unit of the defensive line, Florida State was the team I talked about as being the best defensive line in the entire country. And they had moments last year where they showed that, but they just weren't consistent. And I think with Tony White as the defensive coordinator, him coming in there, it's going to allow them to be more consistent. And I think it's going to open up more opportunities for them, like I said, to not only give exotic looks to the opposing offense, but to bring guys from areas, you know, you get a guy that's cheating down from the left, and all of a sudden what you don't see is the guy on the right that actually is the one that's coming on the blitz, and the guy on the left drops back. It's going to give them the opportunity to be, you know, very – I'm trying to find the word. It's going to give them the opportunity to be versatile. I guess versatile is the word that I'm looking for. It's going to allow them to be very versatile in whatever they want to do defensively, whether it's run-stopping, whether it's blitzing, whether it's coverage in the passing game. They're going to be able to pretty much do just about anything and everything they want with Tony White as the new defensive coordinator. And it's always fun to hear when there's new staffs coming in, and this is something that, you know, I'm about to play some more audio from Coach Norvell that he kind of touched on, and that's the competition that these new staffs bring in. Look, whether it's a new head coach or it's just new coordinators, it always breathes new life into the team, new energy, as we've already heard Coach Norvell talk about. And one of the things he talked about last night was the competition that this team has had heading into what they've been going through in their workouts on Friday. And then, of course, they'll get spring ball started halfway through March. I think midway through March is probably when they'll get started with spring practice. And, you know, getting ready for that, it's renewed a new sense of competition, right? There's a lot more, not only competition, but accountability with this team. And that's a big reason because of that is this breath of fresh air and this new energy that these coordinators have brought in. This is what Coach Norvell had to say about that.
Really, anytime you have a new staff or new members of a staff, you know, it is, you know, the past impressions, the past experiences are really, you know, I say, you know, flushed in some aspect of it because, you know, now what are you doing today? You know, you get to show your growth. You get to show you know, how you're transitioning, how you, you know, what can be expected from somebody that, you know, maybe doesn't have those, you know, those interactions with you. You know, anybody could turn on film and see, you know, but there's still, you know, the element of, you know, of new. And I think guys are definitely working to take advantage of that. And it's not just, you know, not just guys that maybe didn't play as much. It's also guys that might have played a lot and played at a high level. And there's an absolute push to go put their best foot forward and to go be better than what they've been. And so I think it's good for everybody involved. And, you know, it does kind of provide a fresh start for a lot of guys, and just, you know, being able to, you know, kind of define what their role is going to be here moving forward.
Yeah, and I think, again, the thing with Florida State is it's not just the new staff members. I think you've got a lot of guys who were on the team last year that do not want another season like that. And you have a lot of guys that are not only looking themselves in the mirror and saying, how can I get better every day? How can we keep that from happening? But you've also got guys that are holding other people on the team accountable. You even got new guys who are coming into this that are holding people accountable, right? You've got younger guys. You've got a nice mix of transfer. You've got veterans. But they're all working together to make each and every person on that team better every day. And a big reason why is the addition of the new staff, but also just the mindset of going through what they went through last season. They were a lot better football team than 2-10. I think you have a conversation with anybody from inside that locker room, from inside that coaching staff. If you talk to them about that Florida State football team last year, they were a lot better than 2-10. And like we talked about, on paper, one of the best defenses, if not the best defensives in the entire country. They just did not play consistent. Their offense let them down. There was a lot of things that went into why last year was really the season that it was. And look, you can say that DJ was a big part of that. And you know what? You would probably be right. I try not to like pick out one player and be like, you're the reason why this team was terrible. But DJ was a big part of that. I think they put a lot on DJ when they brought him in. I think they gambled and they lost because, as we've talked about with Terry Gross here during football season on Tomahawk Talk on ESPN Pensacola, which, by the way, you're listening to The Glass Half Full. If you want to be a part of the show, definitely can join in. ESPN Pensacola's studio line, 850-623-1330. Again, it's 850-623-1330. But like we talked about with Terry Gross, just that one of the things with Florida State was, you know, DJ just, they were going after Cam Ward as well as DJ. Cam Ward obviously decided to go to Miami, so that kind of opened up the door to where they were like, okay, DJ's our guy moving forward. And DJ necessarily wasn't maybe the best fit for Florida State and what Mike Norvell wants to do offensively as a head coach. I think what Mike Norvell wants to do, the scheme he wants to run offensively, is more aligned with what his new offensive coordinator, Gus Malzahn, will be looking to run. And I think it was definitely interesting to hear him kind of talk about the differences and similarities to the offense he runs according to the offense that Gus Malzahn runs. This is what Coach Norvell had to say about that.
There's a good amount of carryover, you know, just in some of the terminology. But then there were some things that I wanted to change. And, you know, I think that, you know, there's going to be enough of both that, you know, I think is really going to allow us to be dynamic in our approach and, you know, what we're trying to do. And, you know, obviously our players are excited about all of it.
Yeah, and I think, you know, again, that fresh air, that new energy coming into the program, it's going to excite the players and it's going to get them ready to go. But what he was saying there, talking about the terminology that Gus uses compared to the terminology he uses, look, there's things that are the same, but then also you hear right there Mike Norvell talking about definitely some things that he wanted to change. He wanted to kind of re-examine some things there and make some changes from what they were doing in Tallahassee. And I think, look, after last year when he made the decisions he made to pretty much wholesale the entire coordinators and some of the other members of the staff and go out and hire new guys and new faces, he knew that there were going to be a lot of changes that needed to be made, including in the way that he even went after things. So I think the fact that he is very open to the changes that Gus Malzahn would bring in is really going to help this offense out. They're going to be more of a, you know, they're going to spread it out, but definitely that RPO is going to be their bread and butter. That's what Gus Malzahn likes to run. You look at the guy they brought in from Boston College, Castellanos, definitely a mobile quarterback who's going to use his legs first, his arms second. If he is the starting quarterback moving forward for Florida State in 2025, which I think you can expect him to be, why would you bring in a veteran transfer like Castellanos to sit on the bench? I think he was kind of brought in to be the guy to kind of help mold and shape the younger guys on this team and have them ready for 2026. So I really do think that bringing him in, once they hired Gus Malzahn and then they brought in Castellanos, you could kind of tell the direction they were wanting to go offensively. And that's going to be, like, again, they're going to spread you out. But that RPO, right, the option of the quarterback to hand it off, to keep it himself, or to possibly find a passing lane, it is definitely going to be a strong, strong part of that Florida State offense. And I think the bonus here for them is that they have two coaches that are similar in schemes, that are similar in the way that they want this offense to work. Maybe Gus Malzahn leans a little bit more towards the run. Mike Norvell brings a little bit more of a pass look to it. But that's just going to create balance for them on the offensive side of the ball, and I think that's going to be a perfect fit for them. Some other things that Coach Norvell talked about last night, obviously wide receiver and tight end room was definitely something they wanted to upgrade and get better at. They wanted to bring in more size, more speed. Markarius, Malik White, Squirrel, they brought Squirrel in. They expect a lot of things from Squirrel. And Randy Pittman Jr., who actually followed Gus Malzahn from Central Florida, He's expected to be their big tight end, their big receiver at tight end. He's a guy who is, you know, big body guy who's going to, you know, block you out almost like a basketball player trying to get a rebound. So that's going to create a lot of opportunities for them with jump balls. And then you talk about Squirrel being just the shifty, quick, fast player he is, the route running that he has. It's definitely going to be a big boost for them. And it's going to help out Castellanos a lot if he is the starting quarterback to have guys like that that he can throw the football to. So size and speed in the receiver room, Mike Norvell definitely seemed to be excited for that for sure. And as far as the outlook, look, like I said, talking to him yesterday definitely kind of gave me a little bit more optimism for Florida State heading into 2025, but it's not going to be easy for them. It is not going to be easy for them. This is a team that starts off the season at home, but they started off against Alabama. That is going to be a tough test for them early in the season, but it's going to be a great opportunity for them to show just how good they can be moving forward throughout the season. So that'll be August 30th for their first game. Then, honestly, they've got a few winnable games here with East Texas A&M and Kent State, so they should be coming out of that one. I'll say 2-1 coming out of that one. Again, I think that Alabama game is just too hard. Virginia should be a win for them, even on the road in Charlottesville. I think they could probably beat Virginia with the team that they're looking to field this year. So they're 3-1 heading into the game against Miami. We don't really know what we're going to see from Miami either, right? Cam Ward is out. Yes, Carson Beck is down there, but which Carson Beck is it? Is it the Carson Beck that looks really good at times with Georgia, or is it the Carson Beck that threw multiple interceptions and just did not look good for Georgia against Florida and Kentucky and several other teams last year? So we don't really know what we're going to get from Miami. Then they'll have a home game against Pitt before heading to Palo Alto to play Stanford, which is still weird that they're an ACC team on the West Coast. I don't know how you can be an Atlantic Coast Conference team when you're on the Pacific Coast, but hey, that's college football today, baby. Wake Forest in Bobby Bowden Field at Doak Campbell Stadium. Then they'll go to Clemson. They'll be back home for Virginia Tech. Then they'll go to NC State and close out the year on the road against Florida, looking to avenge that 31-11 loss that they suffered last year. And you got to think after that whole planting the flag thing at the end of that game, they're going to have a little bit. They're going to have a little bit of. Extra to them when they come into that game for sure. So not quite sure what the season's going to hold for them, but there definitely is a lot of optimism, a lot of excitement, a lot of new energy surrounding this Florida State football program. It's great getting to meet and talk to Coach Mike Norvell yesterday. Again, thank you to Derek and everybody at Florida State Athletics for setting that up. And definitely was a great event there at the Sanctuary for that booster tour. And, man, we look forward to any other coaches that are coming through the area. So if we get any other coaches coming through the area on these booster tours, you better believe we're going to be right there with them and talking to them here with ESPN Pensacola. So just keep an eye out on that. If we have, you know, Billy Napier come through on one, if we have Mario Cristobal or, you know, Kalen DeBoer, somebody like that come through the area, you better believe we're going to be right there and we're going to have all the things that they had to say for you the next day right here on The Glass Half Full. We'll take our first time out. When we come back, we're going to stick with college football. We're going to talk spring games. Should we cancel them? I will find out coming up next.
Auburn fans, time to talk War Eagles basketball. Be listening Thursdays from 10 to 11 a.m. for War Eagle Weekly, an exclusive one-hour talk show featuring the inside scoop on everything Auburn Tigers basketball, including upcoming matchups, post-game analysis, and the latest news highlights with show host Bill Clark. Auburn Basketball War Eagle Weekly, brought to you by host Bill Clark and Coach and Four Steakhouse on Pine Forest Road, every Thursday from 10 to 11 a.m. only on ESPN Pensacola. War Eagle!
This is your official station for March Madness.
College basketball lives here
on ESPN Pensacola.
It's The Glass Half Full on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. Be a part of today's show at 850-623-1330. Now, here's Jordan Glass.
.9:27 here on this Tuesday morning. Welcome back in to The Glass Half Full. If you want to be a part of today's show, 850-623-1330. Again, it's 850-623-1330. Switching gears now away from Florida State, keeping it in the world of college football, though, there's been a recent kind of almost move, if you will, to actually start talking about the conversation of canceling spring football games. Right, of not having the, you know, the 8A game if you're Alabama, or the orange and blue game if you're Florida, or any of the other ones, right? And multiple reasons, and a couple of coaches have kind of come out and spoken in favor of this for those reasons. Steve Sarkisian is one. Steve Sarkisian has came out, and he said, I'm all for canceling spring games because, you know, wear and tear on the players. They've gone through spring practice. You know, there's no sense in getting out there and playing a game where they could possibly get banged up. They could tear their ACL. They could break an arm. And I get that. I really do. I get it. But my counter to that is this. Can't that stuff happen in a spring practice? I mean, this is a slippery slope that if we cancel a spring game because we're worried about a player getting injured, then we should just cancel practices too, because those can happen in a practice. You can have an injury happen in a practice just as much as you can in a spring game. It's the same argument I make when players try to sit out of a bowl game. It's, oh, well, I don't want to like tear my ACL or anything in a bowl game and affect my draft status. Bro, you can tear your ACL training at whatever facility you're working at. You can be at a D1 training facility, working out, doing ladder drills, and tear your ACL. It doesn't matter whether you play in the bowl game or not. The risk to tear your ACL is still there. Ask me how I know. Last August, I stepped off of a curb at the beach and broke my ankle and messed up a couple of different ligaments in it. Just stepping off a curb. I was coming right by the pavilion right there at Casino Beach where they do bands on the beach, stepped off the curb to go to the parking lot, and snap, crackle, and pop. So this whole argument of, well, we don't want to play spring games because they might get hurt, it's just as asinine as, well, I want to sit out the bowl game because I don't want to tear my ACL. Really? You can fall down your stairs and tear your ACL at your house. I mean, it's possible. It is very possible. There is no guarantee that you won't have some type of injury like that just because you don't play in a game. Now, the other reason that's being brought up for why we should cancel spring games is by Matt Rhule, who is at Nebraska, obviously is their head coach. He said, yeah, well, I'm worried about, you know, players entering the transfer portal and coaches tampering with the players and things like that. Guess what, Matt? That's going to happen regardless, my man. And I'm telling you right now, if you've got a player that hits the portal right after your spring game, it wasn't anything that happened in the spring game that made them want to hit the portal. They didn't come out of the spring game going, you know what? I want to go into the portal. No, they've been thinking about that for a minute. Right, it's like when a girl dumps you. It ain't a snap judgment. Guys, if you've ever been dumped by a girl, I'm telling you right now, let me give you some advice. If you've ever been dumped by a girl, she's thought about it for about a month, month and a half in advance. That's how ladies are. That's how they do it. They think about it. They make sure that they have everything planned out and ready to go before they actually do it. You ever notice? I want you to think back to that girl that dumped you. That last month and a half, 2 months, she acted pretty weird, didn't she? Started getting distant, started kind of pushing you away, didn't want to see you as much. Didn't talk to you on the phone, didn't respond to your text as quick. You weren't getting the Snapchats and all that stuff from her if you're a younger listener. Yeah, right? It's starting to click with you, right? It's because she's planning it out. She's getting ready for that breakup. Players are the same way. They don't just wake up one morning and go, I'm going to get in the transfer portal. No, it doesn't happen that way. They've been planning it out. They're thinking about it. There are things that happen that led up to that happening. So whether you have a spring game or not, players are going to enter the transfer portal. You're not going to stop that. And coaches are going to tamper. You're not going to stop that. Even when there's penalties for coaches tampering and getting involved with players in the transfer portal, they don't care. They still do it. They still find loopholes. They still find workarounds to where they can still find a way to go and talk to a player even when they're not supposed to. It doesn't matter. It's the glass half full on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. So you want to sit here and cancel spring football games because you're worried about A, players getting injured. Well, guess what? If that's the case, then let's cancel all practices too because they can get injured in practice. Are you making them wear flags in practice so they just have to pull a flag off, or is there actual contact happening? There's actual contact happening in a practice. An injury can occur at any point during the practice. Like I said, I can speak to an injury happening anytime, anywhere, because I stepped off a curb at Pensacola Beach and broke my ankle and messed up some ligaments or tendons or whatever's there. I'm not a medical doctor. I don't know. Some of the little elasticy things that you need, apparently, that hurt really bad when they're messed up. Those things. But my point is that happens stepping off of a curb. So if you can break your ankle, if you can break your foot, stepping off of a curb or out of a car or walking downstairs, who's to say you can't tear your ACL doing the same thing? Sitting out a spring game, not playing in a spring game, not having a spring game is not going to protect a player from getting injured. Because guess what? A player can get injured in practice just as much as they can a spring game. Also, if you're so worried about them getting hurt with a torn ACL or something like that in a spring game, why even bother playing them in a game? Because guess what? It can happen in a game. It's a risk of running as an athlete. It's a risk you're running as an athlete of an injury happening at any point. They know. They've played sports their entire life. They've been banged up. They've had injuries before. They've broken a bone. They've torn a ligament. They know. It's part of it, yet they still sign up to do it. Don't punish them and take away a spring game from them because you're worried that Arch Manning may roll an ankle or something in the spring game. That's why quarterbacks wear no contact jerseys in spring games. You're fine. Play the spring game. If somebody gets hurt, it's no different than them getting hurt in practice or getting them hurt in a regular season game. It's next man up. That's why you recruit. That's why you have a thing called a depth chart, right? That provides depth at positions. So if one guy goes down with an injury, you've got another person there that can step in and play. It's kind of cool how that works, right? And as far as Matt Rhule of, oh, well, I'm worried about players possibly getting upset because they didn't get enough playing time in a spring game and coaches tampering with them during the spring and talking them into transferring or blah, blah, blah. Bro, that's going to happen regardless. Recruiting is and always has been and always will be the wild, wild west, right? SMU back in the day when they got the death penalty for all the stuff they were doing. Miami back in the 80s, you can't tell me there wasn't some shady stuff happening there with how they were recruiting all the players that they brought in. Come on. Absolutely there was. All these other schools, whether Alabama fans want to believe it or not, if you don't think Nick Saban didn't slip a couple of envelopes or have somebody slip a couple of envelopes with some charger keys and a wad of money under a table to a recruit or to a recruit's parent, come on. They did it. They did it. Urban Meyer did it at Florida. Probably did it at Ohio State. That's the cost of getting these big-time players. That's why we have NIL now, so that these players don't have to get these universities and these coaches in trouble by doing this stuff under the table. Now they can actually do it over the table, and they can get paid to do it. It's going to happen regardless whether you want it to or not. The tampering, the players entering a transfer portal. And like I said a moment ago, a player is not going to go into a spring game happy to be playing at Nebraska and happy to be playing for Matt Rhule only for him to get to halftime of the game and go, you know what? I think I want out of here. There's too much corn around me right now. What is going on with all these corn stalks? Nobody told me this is Nebraska. Nobody told me there was all this corn in Nebraska. I don't know. Is there a lot of corn in Nebraska? I mean, they're corn huskers, so I mean, I would assume so, right? But my point being in this is they're not going to look around and go, I thought there was a beach here. I've been here 3 years, couldn't find the beach. I'm just now finding out there's not a beach. And then they want to transfer to, like, South Florida just because there's a beach or something like that. It's not going to happen. If they want to leave, if they are thinking of entering the transfer portal, or they do enter the transfer portal, bro, they've been thinking about it for a while. They've been thinking about it for a while. Like I said, when a girl wants to dump you, she thinks about it for a little bit of time before she actually dumps you. It's the same way with recruits or players. If they want to enter the transfer portal, they're thinking about it for a cool minute before they actually do it. You can't stop it. There's been instances where players have entered the transfer portal and then decided after getting there and kind of seeing what was available for them. There has been instances where they said, you know what, I think I'm just going to go back to where I was because there's nothing better out there. But for the most part, there's never been an instance where a player has changed their mind and had that coach say something to them that could change it back. Because again, going back to the example I used earlier, the girl that dumped you, not only did she think about it for a month or so before she dumped you, but then when she tried to dump you, you tried to say anything and everything you could to make her change her mind, didn't you? But baby, I love you. I love you, baby. Please don't do this. Don't do this. Don't leave me. I love you. Please. No, we can make this work. She still left, didn't she? Recruiting and transfer portal is like dating. They want to go. Let them go. There's nothing that's going to stop them. And as far as the tampering, whether it's with your girl or with a player, somebody else is going to be right there waiting as soon as they get available. Believe that for sure. We'll take a timeout when we come back. Oh, we're having fun today. It's the glass half full right here on ESPN Pensacola.
Want to know what I like best about high school sports? I love watching my son run on the field. I love the fact that since he's been playing high school sports, he's making better decisions. And I love knowing that with the proper equipment, education, conditioning, and coaching, high school sports here in Florida are safer than ever before. And that's something I really love.
This message presented by the Florida High School Athletic Association and the Florida Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association.
It's the glass half full on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. Be a part of today's show at 850-623-1330. Now, here's Jordan Glass.
On a Tuesday morning. It's, well, I was going to say Taco Tuesday, but I'm not really in the mood for tacos, which is weird for me, right? Like, that's actually really weird. Somebody might need to take my temperature on that one. What's up? It's Jordan Glass here on the Glass Half Full. Thank you so much for tuning in to today's show. We are going to switch gears now, talking a little college football. Obviously, we started off the show kind of recapping Mike Norvell. He was in town last night for a part of a booster tour he's on for Florida State football right now. Had the opportunity to sit down and talk with him before the event got started. And definitely want to say again, thank you to Coach Norvell for taking the time. Thank you to everybody, Derek and everybody over at Florida State Athletics for setting that up for sure. Definitely looking forward to having hopefully more coaches come through on their booster tours. And we'll talk to them all, and we'll have it all for you right here on the Glass Half Full on ESPN Pensacola. Also talking a little spring game. Should we cancel them or not? I don't think we should. I think it's ridiculous to even think about. But now let's switch gears to some NBA because last night, the fallout and drama from the Anthony Davis-Luka Doncic trade is, it's still going on. It is still going on. First and foremost, Luka made his Laker debut last night. I will admit I tried to stay up and watch some of it, but, you know, it's a West Coast team playing on the West Coast. They got the thing tipped off at like 9:30. I watched it a little bit and then ultimately ended up falling asleep. I did see enough to know that, you know what? He looks pretty solid in a Laker uniform. He looks like he's playing good. When I turned it off, I think he had played for 5 minutes and had 7 points. Or not turned it off, but when I fell asleep, the last stat line I saw for him said he'd been playing for 5 minutes and had 7 points. And kind of carried on with that throughout the night. Ended up playing for a total of 24 minutes, had 14 points in the game, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, including a awesome long court pass to LeBron, who laid it into the basket. And I don't know if you've seen it on social media, but it's getting passed around. I think Bleacher Report has it. Just the excitement on his face. He looks up and he sees LeBron wide open. And the excitement of, I don't know if it was, oh, he's that open, or if it's, oh, he's that open. Oh, wait, I get to throw up a pass to LeBron James because we're teammates now with the Lakers. And it might have been a combination of both, but the just like the look on his face, dude was having fun last night. He's got that, you know, we talked about earlier in the show, we talked about with Florida State and their new OC in D.C., how it's breathing new energy and fresh life into that team. Same is happening with Luka and the Lakers, right? Same is happening with that team. They looked like a good team last night. Luka looked like he was a man that had new energy and new restoration put into him for the game of basketball. So definitely looking forward to seeing what he does as things continue to develop. Right now, the Lakers are kind of keeping him on a light work basis as he kind of continues to get in there with the team and gel and mold. And as he gets, you know, more familiar with the team and their system and the way they use the verbiage and things like that, I'm sure his time on the court will expand, but right now they've got a cap on him at 30 minutes. He's not going over 30 minutes. So next couple of times you see Luka, it's probably going to be very similar to what you saw last night, 25 minutes or so. He'll probably get, you know, anywhere from 14 to 20 points during that time frame. So I what you saw from Luka last night, I know a lot of people are going to go, he only had 14 points. Yeah, but he only played 24 minutes. It's very limited for him right now with the Lakers, and that's what they want to do. So like I said, they had that cap on him at 30 minutes, and they're going to keep him right there. His old team, Dallas, it is getting worse and worse for them right now. That dumpster is not only on fire, but it's spread over to the dumpster next to it, right? And that's, you know, it's bad right now. It is really, really bad right now. Fans getting kicked out of the game last night. For several different reasons. They lose to the Kings last night at home. It's a mess. You got Mark Cuban yelling at fans. The fans are yelling and cussing at Mark Cuban. It literally, the Dallas Mavericks have become Jerry Springer, right? Like, I would not expect, like, Maury Williams to walk out of the tunnel of their next home game. Mark Cuban, we took a lie detector test, and the results show that you are, in fact, a terrible. No, it's. But you know, my point with this is that everything that's happening in Dallas right now, this fan base is unhappy. And what you don't understand, or I don't think not necessarily you. I didn't mean to say what you don't understand. What the staff and the ownership there at Dallas doesn't seem to understand is that, yes, you traded away arguably the most popular player on the team. One of the most popular players in the entire league, you traded away for a dude who gave you 2.5 quarters and then ultimately now has to miss, 4 to 6 weeks because of an abductor strain? That was the word on the street for Anthony Davis, was he cannot stay healthy. And you give up one of your better players to bring in a guy who is injury prone. And guess what? Like I said, 2.5 quarters into his time with your team, he's injured and has to miss the next few weeks. That is going to tick off that fan base even more. They were already unhappy that you made that trade. Now when they see what happened with Anthony Davis, they are definitely going to be even more ticked off, because now not only are they seeing, hey, this guy that you traded in is not necessarily better than Luka, but he's also injury prone. And here we are. He gets injured 2.5 quarters into his time with the Dallas Mavericks. Fans are upset. They want somebody's head, as fans usually do. When fans are mad, look, we saw it early in the season with Florida fans. They wanted Billy Napier gone. By the end of the season, that had quieted down. Talked to Mike Norvell last night. Had him, you know, play an audio clip from him on the show during the first segment when we started at 9 a.m. There were people that wanted Mike Norvell out. When fans aren't happy, that's what they go to. All right? It was a sign. It was at the Pensacola Ice Flyer game on Saturday night. Ice Flyers not having a good season. Saw somebody with a sign with a similar message because they were upset. when fans are upset, they go after the coach. They go after management. That's what they do. You can't kick people out of games because of that. I understand the NBA has their code of conduct that they have to abide by and the rules that they have in place. But if somebody shows up with a shirt that says "Fire Nico," referring to Nico Harrison, the GM for the Mavericks, don't kick them out of the game. Now, if somebody says take him to Dealey Plaza and string him up, oh, fine. By the way, yeah, absolutely. Let's call the cops on them, by the way, because we might need to actually look into their well-being. If a fan is showing up with a sign saying, let's bring bodily harm to Nico, yes, kick him out. Actually, maybe turn him over to Dallas PD. But if they're just wearing a shirt that says fire Nico, or they have a sign that says fire Nico, or if they get put on the Jumbotron and they look into the camera and they mouth fire Nico, you can't kick them out of the game. That's going to make them even more angry. If you are the Dallas Mavericks, you need to do everything and anything you can to make that fan base happy with you. And kicking hordes of them out of the game because they're wearing T-shirts or having signs that say fire Nico, or they start chanting fire Nico, that is going to just tick them off even more. And it also, by the way, takes away their freedom of speech. They have every right to show up to a game if they are mad. And like I said, if fans are mad and they're not happy with the way things are going, they are going to go after the coaches. They are going to go after the GMs. It's just how it is in the world of sports. They have every right to wear a shirt that says fire Nico. Now, again, if it has a derogatory message on it, if it has a slur on it, if it is a message of bringing bodily harm to said person, that is not okay, and that is not allowed. But if some of these people are just holding up signs that say fire Nico, they've got on a T-shirt on that they made at home that says fire Nico, you can't kick them out of a game because of that. And Mark Cuban, while he may not be the owner of the team anymore, he did sell away his portion of the shares of the team. He still shows up to games, still supports the team. What he needs to do is he needs to be that mouthpiece to the fan base between the ownership and management and the fans. He needs to be that go-between. But him standing up and getting into shouting matches and cussing back and forth with fans at a Dallas Mavericks game, that is not a good look for him. It's not a good look for the team. And again, it's just one of those situations that's going to make the fans even more mad when it continues to happen. Dallas Mavericks fan base is a passionate fan base. It's one of the better passionate fan bases in sports. At Dallas Market, whether it's the Dallas Cowboys, the Texas Rangers, the Dallas Stars, they love their sports there in Dallas, and they are ride or die for them. Case in point, every year Cowboys fans come out saying it's their year. Even if they deeply down they know it's not, they still come out and say it's our year because they're ride or die for their teams in Dallas. You tick them off and you keep ticking them off, and they're going to keep coming to the games with these shirts on. They're going to keep coming to the game with these signs. The Dallas Mavericks, look, giving them a refund for season tickets, that's a nice gesture, but it's not going to be what helps them forget about this trade getting rid of Luka. It's just not. Dallas Maverick fans are unhappy right now. You need to let them express that unhappiness. Don't try to shut them up. Don't kick them out of the game because they're expressing the fact that they're unhappy. Let them get it out of their system. The more you fight them, the more they will fight you. It's like dealing with a toddler. You ever try to get a toddler to do something? Tell a toddler to put something down and watch what happens. They don't put it down. No, they don't. But watch. Tell them that they can keep it. Watch how quick they lose interest in it. It's like dealing with a toddler, man. You can't fight against them, or they're just going to keep fighting against you. We'll take our final time out of the show. When we come back, we'll wrap things up with your headline roundup coming up right after this.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today?
I think my battery's dead.
With free battery testing and charging, we can help you get back on the road.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
So what if I need a new one?
we have the right Duralast battery for you, only at AutoZone.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
And what about my old battery?
We can recycle it right here at America's number one battery destination.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
It's the Glass Half Full on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. Now, here's Jordan Glass.
9:57 here on this Tuesday morning, closing it out here on the Glass Half Full. I am Jordan Glass. Thank you so much for tuning in. Of course, just kind of recapping the show today, we had Mike Norvell with us as part of the booster tour. He was in town last night. I also talked a little spring football. Should we cancel those games or not? I say or not. I don't think there's a valid reason for that, whether it's injury, whether it's, you know, transfer portal or players, you know, getting tampered with by the coaches. All of that stuff is going to happen regardless whether you have a spring game or not. So stop trying to find scapegoats and reasons to try to make things not happen. Those things are still going to happen. Let's time now for your headline roundup. We're going to take a look at some of the top headlines from around the world of sports as we close out today's show. Of course, last night we've talked about this. Luka wins in his L.A. debut, 132-113 win over the Utah Jazz. As he said, nerves. There was some nerves early on, but ended up having fun by the end of the game and just kind of settling in with his new team. The Super Bowl was projected, it looks like 126 million people watched that. So, Drake, 126 million people saw the halftime show, buddy. Whew, sorry about it. I think you might have had it worse than the Chiefs that night. Let's see. We've also got Caitlin Clark giving a ringing endorsement of the Indiana Fever's offseason moves. So, she's definitely a fan of the moves that they've made with their coaching staff. And it looks like the Dallas Mavericks, as we talked about, just continuing to have issues with that fan base. Several fans getting kicked out. Some were belligerent and drunk and cussing and yelling. And that, look, I'm fine with getting them kicked out. But other fans who were chanting fire Nico, referring to Nico Harrison, the GM for the Mavs, you can't kick them out just for saying fire Nico. They're allowed to have a voice and they're allowed to express it. Bottom line. That's going to do it for today's show. Thank you so much for tuning in. Have a great Tuesday. I'm Jordan Glass. This has been The Glass Half Full. Stay tuned. Clinton and Friends coming up next right here on ESPN Pensacola.